Talking with TD.
Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate you for tuning in, man. It's another week, another W for your Titans. They get to eat a second one. Two wins on the season, 2-6 record, going into L.A. to face the Chargers. We'll get into that matchup with ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter Chris Rim. Man, we got a lot to talk about. We got Ryan Stonehouse coming in. He spent some time to really dig deep on the punt situation. We'll get into that a little bit later. Run TMC with Chris Sanders. We got Parker Kelly making it happen.
Oh, yeah, TD. I have a feeling we're about to get a lot smarter in today's episode.
Yeah. This conversation with Ryan Stonehouse is really an in-depth description of what's going on in the punting game and how some of the things are just so related. So we'll get into that in a second. Let's go ahead and unpack this Patriots victory. You got Brian Callahan and the emotions, right? And, you know, he says, look at me, I needed that. And he's right, he did need it. And he needed a victory just like that. He needed one where his team showed the resiliency. Look, you had two starters be lost for the year, right? Lloyd Cushenberry and Quandre Diggs. And those were pretty serious injuries, the Liz Frank and the Achilles. And I tell you with that, they knew right away that those were serious injuries because those guys were ruled out within minutes of when they went to the locker room. So you saw the Titans overcome that. You saw 10 guys either did not practice or were limited in practice. Seven of those guys played. And one of them was Tony Pollard. And you heard how just emotional Brian Callahan got about Tony Pollard. I mean, we're talking about 154 total yards, .128 on the ground. And there were times where Tony Pollard, it was BYOB, be your own blocker. And there were other times where he set things up really, really nicely. I really enjoy watching him run, you know, and Pollard, he had the first 100-yard rushing game for the Titans this season, so that's a milestone. Coming off of the first 100-yard receiving game, which was posted the previous week by Calvin Ridley, who he had a couple drops, and that's something that obviously it's plagued him, but he just has to get that together. There were opportunities for him to make plays, and I think if you look at the interception, right, early interception, and Brian Baldinger, he did a great job breaking it down. And so you look at it, yes, Chig Okonkwo dropped the ball. Yes, he should have caught it. But as the quarterback, listen, you got to give him a more catchable pass. You can't have it hot and high on a slant especially. And on that throw, it's designed. Top of the numbers, the face mask. That's the placement where it's supposed to go. But more importantly, as the breakdown showed that Baldinger did, Calvin really was wide open in the corner of the end zone. And look, it's easy for me to sit here in this chair sipping on this very nice, great job by the station, Pumpkin Spice. I mixed it with some hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Sipping on this coffee, too. You know. It's easy for me in the comfort of this to sit here and say, hey, Mason Rudolph, you got to make it happen. But, look, I'm just giving a different perspective. And you're keying on that cornerback. He triggers. It was just like the Ricardo Lockett, Malcolm Butler interception off of Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl, Seattle versus New England. They saw that rub route, and they triggered, and he picked it off, right? Quarterbacks, just don't throw the slant going forward because it's led to bad things an awful lot. But all jokes aside, the corner triggered. Ridley was able to slip past him. He was wide open, but they didn't go there. And it just is what it is. You know, hindsight is 20/20. Mason Rudolph, he passed for 240, right? And, look, he played well enough for them one. The defense, though, I thought they showed, and I say this reluctantly, because I was going to say they showed that they could close the game. I'm going to say it reluctantly because They allowed Drake May to run 11 and a half seconds before throwing that pass to Rhamondre Stevenson. And look, sometimes guys just make outstanding plays, and that's what happened there. But daggone. But Amani Hooker was able to close it out. Jeffrey Simmons had his best game. He said that it was all about him getting one-on-ones. They felt for some reason they could block him one-on-one. And he said, you know, look, I get one-on-ones, I got to win. I got to win, and that's what's happening. And one of his interceptions also, or one of the interceptions, I say his because it should have been credited to Jeffrey Simmons, and he talks about impacting the quarterback, right? When you run the sack numbers out, he said, look, I want to impact the quarterback also. That's what he did on the interception. He looped inside, he got that pressure, and he was in Drake May's face, and Drake May came up short on the throw. Amani Hooker was there, clean it up, interception. So that's a way that you could impact the quarterback. That's the way that you could do something that helps, you know, impact the game without it showing up in the box score. So great job by Jeffrey Simmons on there. Jerome Baker, zero snaps. I asked Brian Callahan about that, and he said, hey, look, man, Jack Gibbons is just playing too good to take him out. And that's a great, you know, he's a cool story. Dr. Gibby, right? That's what Vrabel called him. I think he's a cool story. I'm curious how that's going to work out. We'll see how it continues to unfold. I think Baker's going to need to play some at some point. You definitely want to get a look at him. He's going to be a free agent. I doubt they bring him back, especially with Cedric Gray. But nevertheless, we'll see how that works. But, you know, overall, this was a 20-17 win in overtime. I know people will look at it and say, but look, end of the day, a win is a win is a win. And now they're getting ready to go to L.A. to face the Chargers. A bunch of former Titans on there, you know, Bud Dupree, Tierra Tart, Elijah Molden, Hassan Haskins, yep. Larrell Murchison. There's a lot of former guys on that team. I'm sure there's some that I'm missing. I'll check the depth chart.
Titans West.
Yeah, Titans West. That's what it's become. But I want to shift gears and go to the punting game. And a lot of questions have been raised about that. So in our weekly sit down, this time I sat down. Morgan Cox, shout out to Morgan for letting me hold his locker while Ryan Stonehouse and I spoke. But here's Ryan Stonehouse just giving you an in-depth description of what's going on in the punting game. So first things first, I mean, you suffered a major injury, and obviously that has a mental toll. How are you coming along just from that perspective, just being able to, you know, be back in the mix?
Yeah, well, you know, I think right now I'm at a point where I've definitely overcame a lot of the mental hurdles. You know, I think starting the beginning of the year, what had happened with the block punts and everything like that didn't really help. You know, when you start this process, it's not as easy as everyone may think to just get back out there and do it. You know, you have to do it. Like, you have to go out in a game, feel a real rush, feel guys go after you to, like, get comfortable again, you know, doing your job and not being out of control or trying to speed everything up. And
right.
It was tough in the first couple of weeks because you're like, well, what do I do? Like, do I keep trying to go fast and, like, avoid getting a block, or do I stay within myself? Like, and you trust on a lot of the guys and the coaches to make those fix early on. And I think at this point now, you know, we've been able to protect better. You know, there's still certain things that we're, you know, having to fix and stuff. But I feel like mentally for me, we've protected some of these rushes these last couple of weeks, and it's helped me mentally for sure.
And you look at, I mean, obviously you've set records, right?
Yeah.
And this year is not exactly the same.
Sure.
What would you say is the biggest difference?
Well, I think you realize, I mean, I've even been through this in college, like, you realize how much of punting is a team versus the individual.
Yeah.
You realize that it's not as much, like, it's like a quarterback and his offense. Like, how much can you surround that guy with the best players and put him in the best position to succeed? Because I think having a good punter and having a punter that can do the job you're asking him is important, but I also think it's important that everything complements each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every year is different, and I think what works some years may not work for whatever your current situation is. And you just have to kind of – you trust that the guys around you and the coaches are like, hey, this is where we're at. This is realistically where we're at and what we need. And that's kind of what this year has been, is a lot of like figuring out like, okay, who do we got? Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to complement everything else? And that, and like, you just have to adapt as a punter. Like, some of the things that may have worked in the past aren't working, and you can't just keep doing it, because if you do, it's just like, it's going to keep, same outcome going to keep happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what's hard about like this year versus years past. Cause, you know, you got players on maybe those first two punt teams that are not here anymore that have helped out a ton. You know, it's just learning and bringing some of these young guys along too. Like, hey, this is, you know, this is important. This wins football games, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge impact. Yeah. So that's kind of what's been a lot different this year.
What is your feedback on that hang time perspective? Because there's a fragment out there that says, hey, you know what, the hang time is better.
No,
this would be
totally
better.
What's I think hang time and gunner play go hand in hand. I think that, you know, just like blocking and punter op go hand in hand. Like, I think it's not just one thing. If you fix one thing, if you fix hang time, that they're not going to get returns or anything. It can help, mm-hmm, certainly. Like that, and that's the whole thing. But I think the biggest thing you got to look at is like total op from snap to catch, because, you know, if you're speeding up the op time, you know, and you're getting the punt off quicker and not letting it get blocked, does that affect hang time? You know, like, yeah, how much does rushing a punt affect hang time?
It's really a process.
It is. It's not as simple as just like, oh yeah, like if we get a 4-8 hang, like, I mean, shoot, look, it's a great example of the two fair catches that we forced in the last two games, like Trey Avery and Justin Hardy. I mean, great plays as gunners. You know, I don't know if they fair catch it with both of them going down there and forcing a fair catch. That's why it all works together, because I think sometimes punters can get frustrated where they hit a good hang time and you get a 10-yard turn. You're like, what happened? I did what I was supposed to do. But it's like, no, it all works together, right? Or, you know, in Buffalo when we hit, we were going into the wind on the second punt, and Lou Gifford goes down and makes a great play. I mean, the hang on that wasn't very good, but the situation, right? We couldn't put hang, otherwise the punt would have been
right
30 yards.
Right,
and
right,
that's how you compliment each other. Like, that's what punt is. And that's what's like, I think for me, for hang time, I think there's a lot I can do to help in certain situations, but every situation is going to be different. And, you know, and that's what I'm kind of seeing right now, is that, like, hey, we got to pick each other and play off each other is the most important thing.
How is Colt Anderson? Like, we see him in the press conferences. How can I put it nicely? It's not always the smoothest press conference.
Sure.
But when you have behind the scenes, you know, you're working with him. What is that like?
Yeah, Colt's got a lot of fire. You know, he cares deeply. He's very knowledgeable, especially at playing for a while. He knows, he's a very instinctual coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if Colt could strap it up and go play, he would.
Still, you
know,
like, you watch the pregame,
he
works out.
That he has. And he brings that. And that's what guys appreciate about Colt. And, you know, I think right now this has not been an easy year, mm-hmm, you know. And I think that we're kind of in that process of, okay, where can we fix certain things in? And right now, like, what can we do better as a whole, individually and as a whole, to help out the situation, you know, and start stacking some weeks? Because we can't just keep doing the same things, you know, and think like, oh, one day we'll just come in here and it'll change. Like, we got to build that momentum like any good team does. Put a week together, you're confident, and then you got the next week, you have a little bit more confidence. And every guy in this locker room can play it in the NFL. I mean, that's why they're here.
Right.
It's going out and believing that you can play and saying, hey, man, like, if you don't make the play, like, I'm going to make the play. You know, and I think Colt helps embody that in every guy, and he puts it as a premium. I think that we as players have to, like I said, elevate in certain ways to help out any way we can. You know, that's kind of my take on it.
Nice. And last thing, the directional punting aspect.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys can incorporate more?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that?
Yeah. You know, I think too. I think, like I said, To start the year, it was a very different philosophy on punting and what we were figuring out. And you know, as we learned kind of where we stood as a group and everything, like I said, I think directional punting is a huge part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It can really help squeeze the field. It doesn't mean that it's going to create tackles or be perfect. Again, it takes all 11 to do that. But I do think that there is a lot to it. And you know, if you look at the last few games compared to the first couple in terms of like where the punts have been. It's getting better, and we're putting more of an emphasis on, okay, if we're at certain points of the field, just like last game with the punt out of bounds, okay, this is we got to go this way. We got to get it over, you know, however, you know, top of the numbers or out of bounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that'll help. But I think going too much out of bounds can – I mean, in the game, we had a punt, I think, go 2 yards out of bounds, right around the 10-yard line, and marked at the 15, you know. And that's just how the ref kind of does it. And when you're in a situation, let's just say backed up at the end, where you're on the 17-yard line, and you do that, you know, you're putting them in great field position if leaving it up to the ref to mark that, you know what I'm saying? And but I do think there is a thing about squeezing the field because you help the gunners. You help both gunners narrow the field down so you can kind of, you know, get everyone to rally with it like in the same direction, no doubt. Yeah. But like I said, I think it all works together, and some returners like taking it to the field. So, you know, that's where your net comes into play, right? Getting the guy go lateral and then trigger and fire. And that's, like I said, it all works together. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, where we do one thing good, we have to be able to complement each other. Mm-hmm. And then you make the play, make the tackle, have a good punt, this and that, you know. Because if you have a good punt and you don't have anyone down there,
what's the use?
Whatever. And if someone's down there but you don't have a good punt, then it's on the punt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it kind of all works together. Hand in hand. Have some guys playing good one punt and then the next one we're not. Right. Same thing for my position. Like, if the gunners are going to get down there, I got to put them in a good spot. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's kind of just the motto right now.
There you have it right there. One hand washes the other. One hand, you know, that's how it works, right? The punt coverage has to help the punt, and the punter has to help the punt cover. So that's kind of what's going on there. Wanted to really allow you guys to get a in-depth view from the guy right there that's primarily responsible for everything. So I'm going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. And now, coming to you live from the Great Western Los Angeles Forum. Starting at small forward for your Los Angeles Clippers out of Kansas, number 15, Danny Manning.
And now, starring in the movie Color Purple, Danny Glover.
You could have at least said the dad because he's light skinned like me. Then I could have been
maybe even like, sweep out the caboose.
Dude, that's the best part of the whole movie, man, when he says that.
that table scene is crazy, man.
It's the best.
Speaking of crazy, this Titans team, they got the win, and it was a crazy game. You look at the ups and downs, the adversity that they fought through. When you see Brian Callahan after that game, just the emotions that he has, what does that tell you?
You know what's so funny? Because everybody, I heard people like laughing and mocking, oh, it's just performed and this and that. Let me break this down to you as of being a coach. This was last year when I coached at Montgomery Bell Academy. We started 0-4. I mean, we were 0-4, and then all of a sudden we had to play McCauley, and we were staring in, you know, the mouth of, you know, actually losing two more. And we went to go play, I think it was Father Ryan, and we were down 13-0. 13-0. And before that, we're 0-4. So now it's looking dim again. So now we come back and we win the game. And we were so excited. Our head coach was so emotional because the hard work we put in, the tears we cried, all the stuff we put into it, we've actually got to win. And the reason why I share that story is Callahan felt the same way. All the adversity, all the stuff, what you can. You're not a good play caller. You're not a good head coach. All of a sudden, you get a win. It's overwhelming with joy. I don't think he was pretending. I really believe emotionally that he felt the weight kind of lifted off because he finally got that win.
Yeah, no, I believe that wholeheartedly. And that's exactly why I say this whole tanking thing, they're not doing it, right? At least the guys in the locker room, the guys in the coaching meetings, they're not doing it. And if you think the GM is doing it, look at Rand's celebration after that team won. That was not one of someone trying to lose. So let's go ahead and eliminate that. This win, even though it's over the Patriots, is that something that they could build on?
Yeah, they can. But here's the thing. We think it's just a win over, like, playing the Brentwood Blaze or playing some little high school team. You got to understand, you're playing professional athletes. You're playing guys that are the best of the best. So everybody knows that in any coming week, you can lose or you can win or you can get beat. So, you know, I would take this as a point of, okay, you know what? We got to win. All we need is take one game at a time. I know that sounds cliche. I know it sounds kind of corny, but whatever. But at the end of the day, just take one game at a time. This week coming up, they got the Chargers. Let's go down to Los Angeles and beat them so they can build on it, they can get better, and just, you know, make some plays when they're capable of doing it.
Yeah, and that's the big thing is being able to come through and close a game out. That was critical.
Yeah.
When you look at that sudden change, right, they go and they score the go-ahead touchdown, and then the defense gives up –
I know.
You know, that play by Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson, and then they go to overtime and they kick the field goal. What are those emotions like when it's up and down like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain because, you know, it's kind of like this. Just say you're going swimming, right? And, you know, you feel yourself drowning and you can see the side of the pool and you're treading water, and it feels like you can't catch your breath, but you're trying to get to the other side. That's the same thing is, okay, you take the lead and all of a sudden, you know, it feels like it's okay. And then they score a touchdown and all of a sudden you're like, okay, it feels like I'm drowning again, but you can still see, you know, the other side. And just kind of looking at the game, that's exactly what was going on. You're like, okay, we're up. It looks like we're going to win. Then Drake May makes a great play to Stevenson. And now you're like, okay, back to the drawing board again. It looks like we're going to lose. It looks like we're not going to finish. But when you actually get into overtime, you kick a field goal and you get an interception by Amani Hooker, it's like, okay, I made it to the other side. And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Tell me about Nick Westbrook and Keenan, because he's the one that scored that touchdown. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, because I've said it many times, even talking to you. Said he's like a Honda Accord, right? The hood Honda Accord. It's not always the prettiest, but it is guaranteed to get you where you need
to
be. And he had a shirt on. He heard that, and he went and he bought a Honda Accord shirt off eBay, and he put it on. And that's he told me pregame that to check him out, and he had that on. What do you think of Nick Westbrook and Kenny, and how do you think that analogy matches?
That it matches him perfectly because he's always reliable. I mean, he's always reliable. He's that total professional. Every year, it's like they try to figure out ways to replace him. A couple of years, they try to get Julio Jones, you know, A.J. Brown and Robert Woods. But what does NWI do? He just keeps his mouth closed and just makes sure he makes the plays when he's called. He might not have the numbers. He might not have the catches. But every time he catches the ball, it's either a touchdown or a first down. So when you talk about him being a Honda Accord, just imagine like this. It's snowing. It's a bad weather. A lot of cars won't start, but I guarantee you that Honda Accord is going to start. Why? Because it's always reliable. Why? Because check this out. I'm going to give this illustration. Because in the inside of the hood, it's built different. And that's the same thing with NWI. Even though he might not be the prettiest outside, but he's built different. And that's why he's reliable every single time.
That's that's deep. That's deep. What about Ridley? He's struggling with the drops, right? Like he had a really good day against Detroit, 10 out of 15, and then whatever the numbers were against the Patriots. I know there were at least two drops. What do you make of that?
He's just got to be consistent. I know he caught 5 passes for 73, but if you want to be that clutch wide receiver, you want to be that guy that they can always count on, you got to make those plays. I don't care if the ball's in the stands. I don't care if you got to dive for a ball. I don't care if you got to jump over 3 people. If you want to be good, that's great. But if you want to be great, you got to make those type of catches. Because when you're talking about being the number one wide receiver on the team, that means you got to make the big catch when it counts. So, you know, I just think that those are things you can correct. And the professional guy that he is, he's going to catch the jugging machines. He's going to be on the sidelines catching the football. But at the end of the day, you have to make those plays when it counts.
And to his credit, he did have that late catch, and the ball was behind him.
Yeah.
But he reached back, and he snapped it out the air, and that helped set up the field goal eventually. So I will say that. But when you look at this matchup with the Chargers, you know, it's been a long time since this team has gone to L.A. or to San Diego and won, because the history includes the San Diego. You were a part of that. Is there something to the traveling from East Coast to West Coast? Because I've always thought that the traveling from West Coast to East Coast is where the disadvantage was.
Man, it's just hard. I mean, to be in that plane for like 3 and 4 hours, it's kind of tough, and you got to get in the hotel and do all that stuff and have your meetings. It takes a toll on you, and I think it's going to be a tough game. And you know, you got to look at the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, they're 5-3, and they got some good guys on offense. But here's what I love about this Chargers team, man. Their defense they got some dogs over there now. I mean, if you look at on defense, they play that 3-4 defense. They got 24 sacks. You got, you know, Morgan Fox. You got Khalil Mack. You got some guys that can make some plays. So, you know, they're going to have to go down there and play, because you better believe that stadium's going to be rocking. I mean, they got a good quarterback. They got some wide receivers. They got a running back in Dobbins that's been balling, that's underneath the radar. So it's going to be a good test for the Tennessee Titans. But if the defense plays like they played in the first half of last week, with Simmons and Arden Key and Hooker and those guys playing like that, they'll always put you in position to have a chance to win.
You mentioned Simmons. Do you feel this was the best performance he's had this year so far?
It is, but I want to – this is just – and I'm saying this in a respectful way. I want to see him against an elite offensive line. I mean, I know he dominated this game, and he wrecked and shop and got a couple of sacks. But I want to see when you go against the top-notch guys and dominate like that, or late in the game when the game is on the line, you take over the game, or, you know, you need a big sack or a momentum change, you take over the game. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see you do it, and I say this respectfully, I don't want to see you do it against the 32nd rate offensive line. That's the only thing I'm kind of concerned about.
How do you see this matchup working out?
You know what? I think it can work out for the Tennessee Titans pretty good. And the one guy that's under the radar again, that's just the dog on that offense, is Pollard. Pollard is doing that thing. What, he had 28 catches, 128. And here's what I love about him. Even though he might not be big in stature, but he runs physical, man. I mean, when he runs the outside zone, the inside zone, he makes one cut and he's out of there. So I would run the ball, and not make mistakes, and let their offense just trying to have long drives and try to keep them out the field. That's kind of how I would handle it.
So last thing with this, right? Sure. These are two teams that, you know, they slow the game down. You look at the Titans last week. I mean, the third quarter, it was two drives. A 7-minute, 40-second drive by the Patriots. Yeah. A 7-minute something drive by the Titans. In those situations, right, like when you're in an offense like that and you want to get that quick strike, is it tough? Cause, I mean, you want to get it because, you want to score because you don't know when your next opportunity is going to be. How were you able to balance that? Like, what goes into balancing, we want to hit that home run, but we still have to make sure we're efficient on offense and not take too many unnecessary risks?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You got to understand, if I'm on offense, you got to understand what the opposing offense is. Is if an offense that's been struggling, then, I want to strike quick, because then you put your defense on to stop them. But if you have an offense like 1999, the greatest show on turf, that they can score anytime they want to, then I'm going to try to win the time of possession and have like a 11-play drive, take it 7 to 8 minutes out, and then score a touchdown. Because now it puts a little bit of pressure on the offense that wants to score quick. So if they don't score quick, then they start to panic, and that's exactly why you want to win the time of possession. Why? Because if I got Peyton Manning sitting on the sidelines, if I have Tony Dan Marino on the sidelines, if we have Tom Brady on the sidelines, and they're sitting there for 7 to 8, 9 minutes, then all of a sudden they get on. They can't get the rhythm of the game. Why? Because they're used to scoring quick and being on the field. So that's why the Tennessee Titans should win the time of possession.
There you have it right there. Hey, let me tell you something. I was watching the old movie.
Oh, my God.
Menace to Society, right? And, that dude, Kane, he got in that Mustang and he was driving and they had that song, Top of the World. Like, that was playing and he was driving.
And
my girl was like, I thought that dude you do the radio with, when they pulled up to the house, Then they pull up in a truck. I didn't know he had a Mustang 5.0. I said, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
That ain't Chris Sanders. That's Tyron Turner.
But guess what? I was watching this comedian, and I was like, man, that dude looked like Eddie Murphy. And you know, my wife, she started clapping. She's like, I can't believe. I'm like, baby, what you can't believe? She said, I cannot believe that TD is a comedian. I said, baby, that's not TD. That's Charlie Murphy.
This is Elijah Molden. I'm talking with TD.
Welcome back from the break. You hear B.I.G. going back to Cali. That's what we're doing this week. As you know, each and every week, we go ahead and we dial up the ESPN NFL Nation reporter of the team that your Titans are opposing. So this week, we got my guy, Chris Rim, Chargers reporter for NFL Nation, a fellow, well, let's say 267 guy. Yeah, I'm saying, what's going on, man?
doing well, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I appreciate you coming on. This is going to be our first time talking shop on the air. So definitely always appreciate when we could bring the group chat, to the radio waves. But let's start it with this, because obviously Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, that's a very interesting pairing. We know the success that Harbaugh has had with other quarterbacks. What has that relationship been like from your perspective, what you've seen?
Yeah, it's really like Jim is the best way I can put it is Jim is really in love with Justin. And I don't mean that, you know, I mean that in the way I'm saying it. Like, he is obsessed with Justin. He's the best. He thinks Justin is the best human he's been around. Not the best quarterback, not just the best quarterback, like the best human. I think Jim and players talk about that too. Like, if Jim could be Justin in a different life, I think he would be Justin. Like, it's like that, right? And I think in turn, Justin has become, and I don't know if it's experience, I don't know if it's the 40 or so million that kicked in this year on his deal, but he's been more comfortable. He's been a little bit more, you know, in talking with us, being with the team. He's joking more. He seems like he's having a lot more fun. You see his, you know, more antics on the field. I think Jim's brought a side out of him. He's not as affectionate as much as Jim is his way, but man, it's kind of a bromance, as Hayden Hurst called it, but like an affection with Jim.
That's crazy. When you look at this offense, because you talk about this quarterback, right, and how much in love Harbaugh is with him, but this football team runs the ball as well, and it's like Greg Roman. That's how his offenses have always been. But how have they managed to marry those two things together?
Yeah, it's been basically when they marry them together, the Chargers win. When they don't, it's streaky, right? Like in Arizona, for example, they had 350 total yards. Herbert was slinging the ball all over the place, throwing the ball, but they couldn't run, and ultimately they didn't score a touchdown in that game. You know, usually, as Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator here, said, like, when you put up 350 or I think it was even closer to 400 total yards of offense, you expect to get at least three touchdowns. They didn't get a single one, so. In each of their wins, you see, and even so in the first two games of the season, they didn't really pass as well, but they ran the ball well. But in these last three wins, they've really done both effectively. They've gotten near or above 100 yards rushing. They've eclipsed 200 or so yards passing. So I think they're still finding their way. But when they get both going, they win.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter Chris Rim. Chris, Joe Alt, obviously. Every team wanted a guy like that, but Titans especially wanted him. They ended up with J.C. Latham, and I think both teams are happy. But how has Joe Alt been since he's come to the Chargers?
Yeah, Joe's been great, man. He's matched up with a bunch of the league's best edge rushers. He's had T.J. Watt. He's had Myles Garrett. He's had Max Crosby. And then every day he has Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, Bud Dupree in practice. So I think he's been as good as the Chargers expected him to be. Last week against Cleveland may have been, a welcome to the NFL for him in maybe a way, because, you know, Myles Garrett and those guys, they got some reps on him. I think that I don't think he's looked that way this season. Not that he played badly or anything, but, you know, he definitely looked like, you know, he didn't look perfect out there, right? And Herbert was sacked 6 times in the first half. Joe got a holding penalty, which we don't see. He also suffered an MCL sprain that sidelined him for a game that he suffered in the Steelers game. But, yeah, Joe's been good. He's been as good as advertised. I think as good as they expected him to be.
Quentin Johnston, this is a dude that had a lot of ability coming in. He didn't really produce initially, but you look at this Browns game he got off. You look at the Panthers game. Actually, for my whiteboard Wednesday, I drew up his touchdown in the red zone there against the Panthers. But what is going on with him? Is this something that should be taken seriously, the 4 receptions, 118?
I mean, yes, and at the same time, I will say, if you do look at his 4 for 118, I think it was a 66-yard touchdown on Denzel Ward's blown coverage there. And then there was a 40-yard reception at the end of the half on a hook and lateral kind of play at the end to score a touchdown. So you kind of look at it, and it was really 2 big plays. It wasn't like he was, he had like 7 catches. So I would say I'm not prepared to say that game is reflective of like a, you know, Quentin's wide receiver 1 or he's going to dominate. I think that Quentin's season has been reflective and shows that I think he belongs, right? Like I think after his first year, I don't know if people were sold or should have been sold on if he, you know, belonged, right? Like this year was really a prove it year to prove that you can play at this level, that you can be, you know, among the starting receivers on the team. And I think through the games he's played, he missed 2 games with an ankle sprain. I think Quentin has proven that he could be an effective player, and he was in his head in year 1.
A couple of former Titans DBs, Elijah Molden and Christian Fulton. You heard Elijah Molden bring us back from the break. I guess let's start with Elijah and what he's been able to do. He leads the team in interceptions. What have you seen from him?
I mean, man, Elijah, man, he's been balling, man. I mean, every time you need to be around the ball, he's around the ball. He has 3 picks this year. He should have 5. He's been perhaps the most impactful offseason addition, if not him. If not him, it's between him, J.K. Dobbins, and Christian Fulton. So 2 Titans have been, you know, among the most impactful, offseason, I guess, signing trades, right? He's been playing really well, man. He Elijah's addition has given the Chargers, basically last week, they played Derwin exclusively at slot, at nickel, right, or in dime. They just made Derwin would follow in Joku, and that's what he likes to do, right? Like when they're playing good tight ends, they want Derwin up close to the line of scrimmage. Derwin likes being up there. He wants to hit people. So when Elijah's playing how he's playing, it gives the defense, it gives Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator here, more flexibility. So he's a reason why the Chargers defense is playing so well.
That's an interesting nugget. And you mentioned Christian Fulton. I tell you, that's a name you say around here in Nashville, you might have to be ready to rumble because, you know, you got people who take his side and you got people who don't, and those two don't mix too well. You said he's one of the best acquisitions. What's been up with Chris?
Man, he missed last game with an injury.
Yeah.
But he's just been consistent, man. He's been solid. Outside of the one play this season that the Christian made a mistake was Xavier Worthy beat him for a touchdown in that week 4 game against the Chiefs. But outside of that, man, he kind of was lights out when he was playing. Derwin James said that Christian was playing at an all-pro level. He's been, you look at all the numbers or the grades, and he's grading out high. And I think this is something that we've seen since the summer and then during training camp. I think, you know, training camp is sometimes misleading, but I think Christian, like you said, right, he knows what happened in Tennessee. I think he understands that he didn't play to where he wanted to be. And he's even talked about it, and he was motivated. And even Jesse Minter has talked about it as well, saying that, like, Christian really has a chip on his shoulder, and he really wants to prove to people that he is the guy that he knows he can be. And this year he's been that guy. He's played well. But, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. has been out. Christian's been that number 1 corner, and he's played well. He, you know, picked off Pat Mahomes, so he's been playing well.
No doubt. And a fellow guy that I'm sure you've gotten to talk to, Tierre Tart, you know, being he's also a Philly cat. How has he been? I see he's backing up, but how has that been for him?
Yeah, Tierre's been a great addition, man. Harbaugh talk so much about him. You know, to be a rotational guy and the head coach to talk about you at every Monday press conference is not normal. So I think Tier has played well, man. He blocked a field goal last week. He caught an interception in Arizona. He did get stripped, though. He was running and got stripped. but Tier's been great, man. He's been a great addition, stuffing the run. He gives them a lot of – they like to rotate guys pretty often. Like, guys don't play – you won't see super, super high snap counts for a lot of the interior line and linebackers because they rotate guys in and out, and he's one of those guys. He's been well, man.
Yeah, yeah. He had a big man interception against the Colts a couple years ago. He as he was falling down, he tipped it and he was falling down and he was able to grab it. So I guess yeah, big man balling. He belongs on that. Bud Dupree, another former Titan. That's my guy right there, man. Bud, good people. All of these guys are good people, these former Titans here. What's up with Bud? I see he's kind of like in the rotation. How has it been for him?
Yeah, Bud similar thing. He's been in the rotation. He's been effective, you know, a couple sacks this year. I think his best game was probably against, you know, the Steelers, you know, one of his other former teams. But Bud's been good, man. He has had moments where he looks like kind of the Bud Dupree that was in Pittsburgh, right? And I think his limited role here has given him, like, more effectiveness, because in some places he likely could have, not everywhere, but in some places he may have been able to be a starter this year or play in a significant role, right? Mm. But he's playing limited snaps, but he's fresh. And I think when he's out there, he's just as effective as the guys around him. And Mentor oftentimes will employ this kind of three edge rusher set where he'll go Khalil, Joey, Bud, or Khalil, Tuli Polotu, and Bud. And it's been really effective in getting pressures and getting to the quarterback. So Bud's been good as well.
Is Joey Bosa, I haven't checked the snap counts. Is he getting the standard amount of snaps, or is that a rotation situation with him as well?
Yeah, so Joey's on the snap count. He missed, obviously, a couple games with it was like a strain to a nerve in his glute kind of thing. But he's been on a snap count. His snaps are increasing each week. He should play. It should increase again this week against Tennessee.
This physical nature, and we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter Chris Rimmer. Chris, this physical nature that this team plays with and just the ability to slow the game down, as you're watching, can you see them, just that physicality, wearing down the opposing team?
Yeah, for sure, man. I think Hayden Hurst said in the offseason, you know, our goal is to – you know, wear teams down and beat the will out of them in the fourth. And through the first 2 weeks, that's what they did. And I think throughout the season, that's what's happened, right? Typically, and I expect probably similarly on Sunday with, you know, the kind of defense Tennessee has, it's like they're not necessarily coming out against teams and just beating them over the head, running for 100 yards in the first half or something like that, like you might see with the Ravens. It's like 2 yards here, 3 yards here, a negative loss here, and they're going to keep running the ball. They're going to keep running the ball. And then in the third quarter, J.K. is going to go for 17, and he's going to do his little, you know, eating celebration. Then he's going to pop for six. Then Gus Edwards will get in there and just bulldoze people. And then eventually you end the game, and J.K. has 15 for 105 or something like that, right? Like, it's they win the games in the second half.
No doubt. I'm looking at the coaching staff, Navarro Bowman. Wow, the linebackers coach. I'm sure he has those guys going. I remember watching him play, and he was a real deal.
No, seriously, he's been good here. I mean, if you look at Deion Henley, right, second year linebacker, right. Jim Harbaugh just said today, he said, I think Deion is playing at a superstar level. Deion, he had 14 tackles in Sunday's win. I think he had 11 the week before that after an Arizona game where, as he will tell you, he was like the least proud he's ever been as a pro. He missed a bunch of tackles. He felt like, you know, he kind of had to look. He said he felt like he looked himself in the mirror and, you know, was like, I have to be better. And since then, he's been lights out, man. And I think you have to credit Navarro Bowman for what we're seeing from Deion, also what we're seeing with Denzel Perryman. Mm. And I think also, like you notice, TD, you know, when you have a guy in the room, especially as a position coach who's played your position, who's as good as Navarro was, you automatically kind of have a respect that just other people can't have, right? And you can elevate players in that way, just believing that they can, you know, potentially get to your level. So Navarro's been great.
Another former player, he didn't necessarily play quarterback, but Jonathan Goodwin, the former center, he's there. Wow, this staff, man, Sanjay Lau, the receivers. Yep. Mark Trestman, have you gotten to speak to Trestman at all? That is a guy who I remember him back with the 49ers. He was a really good offensive mind.
Yeah, Mark. So we talked to Mark briefly in the offseason, but he kind of, you know, has played it, you know, as assistants do during the season. He hasn't talked much during the season. But, yeah, he's been a guy that they've raved about. You know, they want – obviously, Greg Roman's last stint as a coordinator, he was known for these creative rushing schemes.
Yeah.
And but that kind of stalled in the playoffs, and you know, eventually the league figured out, and he wasn't creative enough, right? I think the staff brought in guys like Trestman and Marcus Brady to help a Roman's offense have a little bit more of that, you know, passing and, mm-hmm. and creativity to make sure it's not stagnant. And you've seen that, right, with Justin, right? He's, you know, he's throwing as much as he ever has the past few weeks. So I think Trestman, you can see Trestman's handprints over this offense.
Yeah, because that was his specialty, passing. And it's crazy you mentioned that with Greg Roman. Is their running attack would be all types of stuff. You know, they rolled out the pistol with Kaepernick, but always so elementary on the passing side of things, which is crazy. So that was good that you pointed this out. As far as this game, the outlook, outside looking in at the Titans, we'll wrap it up on that. What is like your, what do they call that, 10,000-foot view of the Titans?
Man, when I look at the Titans, man, I think it's like, you know, I just think of Jeffrey Simmons, really. I think that's what I think. That's who I think about. And then I think of all the pictures I've seen of Will Levis in different in different situations, looking kind of weird, throwing the ball, doing something he maybe shouldn't be doing. But, yeah, I think I see a team that, you know, has a guy under center who has had really high highs and also some really low lows.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I'm the defense and I'm Jesse Minter, I'm letting my team know, like, there's two versions of this guy, and we don't – you know what I mean? Let's try to get the worst one. And I think that some of the guys in the locker room, Bud Dupree, for example, have seen the good version – I've seen the really good version of Will Levis. The Falcons, when Bud Dupree was on the team last year, played Will in his first start, and he lit them up. And that wasn't a bad defense. That was a solid defense last year.
Sure
so
was.
There are players in the locker room that know what Will can do. So I think I would say that. I think it comes down to how Will will play.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this, the meme coming out of the Dolphins game with him making that face. He was making that face, Chris, because he was popping his shoulder back in. That's why he was making. A lot of people don't know that. You know, a lot of people don't. So I'll, you know, he told me that. So I'll make sure that is out there. But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely have to link up when I get out there, man. I hit you up for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So that was Chris Rimm, ESPN NFL Nation Chargers reporter. Very informative there. We definitely got a good laugh out of the Jeffrey Simmons and Will Levis memes. That's his 10,000-foot view. But realistically, he's pretty much on it, right, knowing that you're going to see two sides of Will Levis. Like, you never know what's going to come. So I definitely appreciate him coming on. Appreciate Ryan Stonehouse for dropping by and giving us those jewels on the punt team. Definitely Chris Sanders run TMC. Parker Kelly over here rocking the house. Appreciate each of you for tuning in, man. We need that support. Definitely appreciate that. And believe it or not, you know, the way you guys tune in, it means a lot to us. So definitely continue to rock with us. 100 thank yous for that. Enjoy the game this weekend. If you have not already seen us on the different media places, check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD, subscribe, rate, review. Appreciate you.